town hall in New York City. Here it is.
Congresswoman, none of this matters unless there's a nuclear war, which you voted to send arms and weapons to Ukraine. Tulsi Gabbard, she's left the Democratic Party because there are fucking war hawks, okay? You originally voted, you ran as an outsider, yet you've been voting to start this war in Ukraine. You're voting to start a third nuclear war with Russia and China. Why are you playing with the lives of American citizens? You're playing with our lives.
There will be no neighbors if there's a nuclear bomb. You voted to mobilize and send money to Ukrainian Nazis. You're a coward. You're a progressive socialist. Where are you against the war mobilization? He's telling the right truth. You have done nothing. Tulsi Gabbard has shown guts where you've shown cowardice. I believed in you, and you became the very thing you sought to fight against. That's what you've become. You are the establishment, and you are the reason why everybody will end up in a nuclear war unless you choose to stand up right now and denounce the Democratic Party. We could be in a nuclear war at any minute, and you continue to fund it. That's what's going on.
Whoa. I love that. And all AOC could say was, that's so rude. hecklers took over her town hall. And you know what? They were right. She has become the establishment in the Democrat Party. Man. And can I just tell you, getting heckled at your own town hall, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Coming up on the program, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. Ron Futrell is going to join us. A couple of things I want to get to. First of all, have we solved our goaltender problem with the Golden Knights? Logan Thompson looked really, really good, composed. He looked like a winning goaltender. 1-0, a shutout in game two. They are now 2-0. And all I'll say is, Fleury, as great as he is, cost us, what, $12 million or something like that? Some unbelievable figure. If you can get somebody that is two-thirds of Fleury and he costs you $850,000, that's a pretty good bargain, isn't it? Anyway, we'll get a chance to visit with him about that. Also, I want to find out what the way out is for the Raiders. They're now 1-4, and now they get a bye, so they don't play this week. They're off till the 23rd, I think. And I guess all I'm saying is somebody better find out some answers. The one good thing that this does is it frees up the coaching staff to do a deep dive into what happened the first 5 weeks. And it was not pretty. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. Ron Futrell, sports anchor, reporter for 8 News Now, joins us on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studio. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Raleigh resident Joshua Phillips admits the shooting death of his neighbor Nicole Cotters hits close to home, but he says he won't let it affect how he lives his life.
I'm not going to stay shelled up in the house just because of this. You know, still got a life to live. So, I mean, it's a wake-up call. You just got to keep an eye out of what's going on around you. Make you more aware of your surroundings now.
His neighbor was one of five killed in the shooting attack on Thursday. The 15-year-old shooting suspect remains in critical condition. Also at SRNNews.com, a federal judge has ruled that the current version of a federal policy that prevents the deportation of hundreds of thousands of immigrants brought to the U.S. as children can continue at least temporarily. U.S. District Judge Andrew Hannon said the policy, which is set to proceed under new regulations at the end of the month, can continue with limitations that he previously set. Also at townhall.com, on the international front, Secretary of State Blinken dismisses claims by Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi that some Western plot is behind protests that have erupted in cities across Iran.
The Iranian regime will try to paint this and other expressions of solidarity with those standing up for their freedoms as evidence that these protests are somehow made outside of Iran and the work of others. And if that's the case, if they genuinely believe that, they fundamentally do not understand their own people.
The protests broke out after a woman died in custody in the country's morality police. The Dow is down 392 points today. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Nevada, this is Wayne Allyn Root. You've heard me talk about the disastrous policies being pushed down our throats by the Democrats. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of the weak Republicans who don't fight back. Sam Peters is different, and I'm proud to support his bid to win in Nevada's 4th Congressional District. Sam is one of the few running for office who's ready to bring the fight straight to the Washington, D.C. swamp. His race is one of the most targeted races in the country, and you better believe the Democrats are coming after him. If we're going to fire Nancy Pelosi, we have to start with Sam Peters. I need you to go to sampetersforcongress.com right now and make a contribution. Sign up, volunteer, put out a lawn sign. Whatever you can do. I'm serious. Right now. Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com, and click the donate button. They're attacking Sam with everything they've got, and we need to help him fight back to defeat Nancy Pelosi. Sam Peters for Congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I approve this message, paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's 104, and this is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. All state of Nevada websites remain inaccessible today because of a physical failure with a fiber connection. According to a Twitter post from the Nevada Department of Administration, the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles offices are closed statewide due to that issue, and the agency has begun to notify those with appointments. Those outages began yesterday afternoon about 5:30 p.m. Scores on ACT college admissions test by this year's high school seniors has hit the lowest point in more than 30 years, with Nevada getting the lowest average score in the country. The class of 2022's average ACT score was 19.8 out of 36. That's the first time since 1991 that the average score was below 20. The Silver State score was 17.3, the lowest average score among the six states, where all the seniors are required to take the test in order to graduate. Now, the scores show 42% of the ACT tester graduates in the class of 2022 met none of the needed benchmarks in the important categories, English, reading, science, and math. 42%.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Quick check of the traffic cams. Do expect delays there on the Southern Beltway 215 westbound around Gillespie, because ahead of that, there's slow merging traffic on 215 westbound transitioning to Interstate 15 northbound.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association. The men and women who get stuff from point A to point B, Paul Enos and all the men and women, thank you so much to the Nevada Trucking Association. Well, I don't know. Are they going to have a celebration out at the practice facility? I don't know. No, they should. They should. They're not going to lose Sunday or Monday night either. They're not going to lose. I'm talking about the Raiders. They're still 1-4, but. Maybe we should have a celebration for him just for not losing. Joining us now, Ron Futrell, sports anchor, reporter, 8 News Now. Do you think any of these people, Mark Davis or anybody, thought they'd be 1-4 right now, even with a new coach and new players and things like that?
No to the heck no. This might be good just to celebrate, get away. Okay, when the bye weeks come, okay, you never – it's probably always a bad time to have a bye week, even in this case, because you leave with a loss and that taste in your mouth. In fact, that's what I'm talking to Josh McDaniels about tonight. We're going to have that story. It's going to hit about 6:45 on Channel 8. So when is the best time to have a bye week? You know, if you're on a roll, if you've won 5 in a row, you don't want to have a bye week. You don't want to interrupt that because you got momentum. But when you're playing as bad as – well – let me say this. So are the Raiders playing bad? No, they're just doing they're making mistakes. They're making stupid mistakes at times, at the wrong times. Let's go there. They're not playing as poorly. Last season, if you remember back, there were a handful of times, 5 or 6 times, where the Raiders won games at the buzzer, at the end of regulation. Daniel Carlson kicking the field goal against the Chargers to put the Raiders in the playoffs at the end of overtime. The overtime game that started the season against Baltimore when Zay Jones catches the touchdown pass, goes to the end zone, Raiders win by 6, and everybody's jumping for joy. So they won those games last year, those close, tight, last-second, got-to-have-something-good-happen games. This year, they're not coming close. They're doing everything wrong right down the stretch when they need to be doing it right.
You know what the difference is? We always talk about what separates the bad teams from the good teams. The good teams find a way to win, even on days when maybe your running game's not going well, or your passing game, or you got some special teams problems. That basically you find a way to lose, and that's what the Raiders seem to be doing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and the mistakes that they're making, penalties. Let's go. They're up 17-0 at Kansas City against those Chiefs, and they're rolling. They make stupid penalty towards the end of the half, give them a field goal to make it 20-10 at halftime. And all those 3 points were pretty important when you lose by a point. Okay, those 3 points at the end of halftime, that mistake right there with the penalty to put Kansas City in field goal range. To give them that field goal. Then, of course, at the end of the game, penalties after penalty after penalty. It was just foolish penalties, dumb penalties. They're getting down in field goal range and ready to roll. Yeah, I thought the catch by Davante Adams was a catch and should have been ruled as such, but they didn't. So there you go. There goes luck against you. And then you get two receivers plow into each other. Two of your best, your top two receivers smack into each other.
Did we ever find out how that happened?
They have not said who was in the I have not seen it anywhere, and I've looked. After the game, they wouldn't talk about it. They wouldn't talk about who was in the wrong pattern on that pass play.
Oh, okay.
Because somebody had to be in the wrong pattern. Somebody had to you don't design a play where you crash into each other. How about that?
Yeah, nothing in the playbook that has two wide receivers in the same airspace.
Hey, let's knock into each other and then have our quarterback throw the ball into no man's land, literally no man's land. And so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. They're not saying. So, okay, I get that part of it is that you don't want to go. Yeah, it was Hunter Renfro's fault. He was the guy who got the concussion and fumbled against Arizona and essentially cost them that game, whether you thought that was the right call or not. But anyway, there you go. Or was it Davante Adams, who, by the way, right now has 5 touchdown receptions this year, which is tied for first in the NFL. So there's some good signs. I mean, let's go here and examine the numbers. And they're not real hard because it's easy with only 5 games. Okay, so they won one game. Let's examine those 4 losses. One of those losses was in overtime, and the other 3 losses were by a total of 8 points. So now you go, okay, there's another way to look at half full, half empty. The glass is half full in the sense that they're coming close. I mean, they're right there. But then you go back to the Al Davis motto, which is just win, baby. And it doesn't matter how you do it, just win. Find a way to win. And these Raiders are not doing that. With the bye week this week, you look at their schedule coming up, and if they continue to play the way they're playing without the stupid mistakes, did I say that? Is that okay? Is that a little?
You said it. Yeah. You said it, Ron.
Am I being mean? Am I too mean? I'm a mean media person. They come back and they play here against Houston. Then they go to New Orleans and Jacksonville. Then they play here against Indy. Indy is not playing near as well as what everybody thought. Then they play at Denver. Then at Seattle. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 6 games I've mentioned right there, and I see no reason why they couldn't beat those teams, unless Indy starts turning it around, but that's here.
Well, and
they got the game at Denver. They're playing well against Denver. New Orleans is struggling. Houston is here. They're the Texans. So there you go.
Well, and don't forget, while we're out doing that over the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks, other teams in the division are going to be playing each other, knocking each other off.
So, oh, that too. Yeah.
So 4 losses, as bad as it may be, and it kind of puts us up against the our backs against the wall, we almost have to win out or close to it. The fact is, other teams in this division are going to be knocking each other off.
Yeah, yes, they are. You're exactly right. But when they come back, they have the schedule is favorable for them when they come back. Now, 4 of those 6 are on the road. Still, learn how to win on the road. Okay, just do that. Learn how to win at Jacksonville, at New Orleans. These aren't powerhouse teams. Come on, they nearly won at Kansas City. They should have won at Kansas. They should have won that game you know, take your pick. What it should have been at the end. Should it have, you know, I could argue over the two-point conversion, go for the one-point conversion. I'm not even going to go there because you can make a school of thought on either side. But they should have won that game in Kansas City, period, especially when you're up 17-0. Arizona Cardinals, they're up 20-0 at halftime. So here's one of my theories in football, and it's not just mine because I haven't made up all the theories in football. They're usually out there and you just grab them from somewhere. Kevin, I might have heard this from you. The great coaches are the ones that make adjustments in the second half and have a better second half than first half. And watch NFL teams, and that's how you can determine coaching, you know, to a large degree, is what you do in the first half compared to the second half. And if you're a better second half team, that typically means you got pretty darn good coaching because you're making adjustments, because that's what football is all about. Football, more than any other sport, is about making adjustments and reacting to what your opponents are doing and trying to force what you want. And then when you see that exposed in the first half, then you've got to change things in the second half. There you go. Right now the Raiders are not a good second half team. Not at all. Not by any stretch.
Does Josh McDaniels, has he let out of the bag what they plan to do? I know other teams that I've followed over the years used the bye week to do a deep dive on their first, in this case, five games, and see what we can do better and changes we need to make and adding trick plays and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Any idea what they're doing behind the scenes right now?
The only thing he said sort of is this is a good time to get away from football and clear your head and come back. And so, no, he has not said anything about what they plan to do tactically on the field to do anything different. And they know what they have. They know what they have to do. And again, it's crazy. Who was it this week? And Skip, sports guy.
Skip Bayless?
Skip Bayless. Thank you. Mentioned that he thought the Raiders were the best 1-4 team in NFL history, okay? Which is sort of crazy. First of all,
it doesn't make me feel any better, though. I swear to God, it doesn't make
you
feel better.
Does that make you feel better?
It does not.
No, which shows that there's not a whole lot they have to do other than just stop doing dumb things at the end and stop seeing things. But things go against you sometimes. As I'm going to draw another example. The 2016 season for the Raiders when they made the playoffs that year, the last time they made the playoffs before this past season. But anyway, that season, that was the one that when Derek Carr broke his foot and wasn't able to make the playoffs, and they lost in the first round. So the Raiders have not won a playoff game in 20 years. I just thought of that.
That's scary.
They went to the Super Bowl in 2003 season, okay. So that was the last time they were there in the Super Bowl. I was there that game against Tampa down in San Diego. And they have not won a playoff game since then. So it's been 20 years, basically, 19, 20 years since they won. But anyway, that being said, yes, they're so close. That 2016 season, they won a lot of come from behind fourth quarter, shocking, surprising, amazing, miracle comebacks, just like they did last year. And that got them in the playoffs. So they had fortune going their way. But that usually comes back the other side, and it's coming back the other side in the first half of this season. So the Raiders, there's still time to turn it around, and you know, and I'm not as a Raiders fan. I'm not a Raiders fan. I would rather cover a team that wins than a team that loses. I will say that. That's more fun. That's breaking news. That's more fun. But I'm not. You know, it's. I'm not a fan. I grew up in L.A. I'm a Rams fan. And when I grew up in L.A., the Raiders were not there. I was here in Vegas during the Raiders' run in Los Angeles. So that being said, it's still – I'd like to see him win just because my grandkids are Raiders fans. How about that? That concerns me. I might call Child Protection Services and have my take my grandkids away from my son and his wife. What do you think? Is that ground?
Yeah.
Hey. Is that grounds for doing that?
Let me ask you. I'm running a little
short. Those are all jokes, by the way, everybody. Not real. I'm not really. Those are all jokes.
Thank you. He was making fun.
Making a joke.
Let me just ask you. Davante Adams, can you give us the latest on what's going on there? I know he's got a court date November 10. Beyond that, I don't know much other than what we've seen on the videotape and the apologies.
yeah, the apologies. The videotape, if you watch the whole videotape, and we had a pretty good shot of it because we had a crew there in Kansas City, and he clearly shoved him, you know, and knocked the guy down. Now, the guy fell into an area with a padded wall behind him, and it wasn't a hard fall. And he got up and walked away. He got up and walked away, didn't act like anything was wrong. Then all of a sudden, says he has a mild concussion, injuries, soreness, stiffness, who knows what. And so clearly, there's two things here. Number one, Devontae, what a fool. What an absolute idiot to do that. Okay, number one, I'm putting this is on him for doing that. So there's no excuse for what he did. And I like that he apologized right away. I like that he did that. He made it clear, sorry, apologize. Now, as for the guy, he's after a paycheck. Let's go there. Come on. We're going to hear in a month or two from now that there's been an out of court, undisclosed settlement between Devontae and the guy he shoved. And that'll be the conclusion to this. It's a misdemeanor assault charge against him. So there will be no – I love the people who do this on news. Can I be critical of the news industry?
No, my guest. Be my guest.
Can I go on?
Yes.
The people that say, oh, the penalty for this is 1 year in jail and a $6,000, $8,000, $12,000 fine, and they want to put always paint doom and gloom. Mike Tyson, when he was go to prison on the rape charge, this could be, I'll never forget, this could be 63 years in prison. I said, what? Okay, it could be, you're right, you're telling the truth, you're being accurate in that sense, but you're applying no context. And real reporters apply context. And the context back in the Tyson day was, no, this is the first offense, he's not going to get 63 years in prison. He got 3 years in prison. Okay, that is what it is. But for years, the line was always, and I remember it vividly, because I would never say it. I would go on air and say, there's people out there saying 63 years in prison. That's not going to happen. If he goes, it's going to be for a lesser amount. Let's go here. People that go out there and say, Devontae Adams could spend a year in jail and get a $10,000 fine or whatever. I'm going to shake my head. Come on. What are you trying? That ain't going to happen. So apply the context to it and go, this will be a misdemeanor. He might have to pay a fine, which will be a small amount. And he will spend no time behind bars, nor should he, but he was wrong. And he'll have to write this guy a six-figure check, probably. We won't know the amount. I don't think we'll ever know the amount. But that guy wants some money out of him, so that's where that's going to go.
I worry more about the National Football League. Are they going to do anything? Because the one-game suspension, when you've got, 17 game checks, I think is what it is, 17 or 18 game checks, with the money he makes, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, very good point. No, he's going to get a game or two suspension, and he should. The NFL, you can't do that. You can't do what he did. You're an NFL player, you know. In his case, he's not that big and strong like he's an offensive defensive lineman or linebacker or something. But he's a big strong dude. Pushed the guy down, clearly knocked him down, got him out of his way, and he had no business doing that. So the NFL, they should. I think one game would be a fair suspension for him. Two might be a little harsh, but it might be two. It might be you,
wow,
again, to send a message. There's a lot of people. Let me say this, and I've been down on the sidelines for NFL games over the last, for my whole career, but more recently over the last 3-4 years, I've been on the sidelines there. And it's a mess. It's not a safe place. It's a pretty dangerous place.
It's
there's
chaos.
Guys running around.
It's,
there's balls flying around.
It's chaos.
You've got to watch yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this guy, again, I'm putting nothing on him. And not his fault, 100% Devontae's fault. I will say the guy, it's a little bit strange that he's wanting, okay, he wants some money out of it, and he'll get some money out of it. And we will hear about that in a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. But there'll be an out-of-court settlement. That'll be done. And the NFL, he'll have a game or two suspended. That's my guess.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take
a break. I'm surprised they haven't said anything yet. I'm surprised the league has not come out.
I know.
Because it's pretty clear. It's not real hard to figure out. You look at the video, and it is what it is.
Well, I like it the way they describe it. We're going to have an investigation. What's there to investigate? You got the videotape.
Investigate.
You know? I mean, Are we going to go back and speak with his third grade teacher who thought he was overly aggressive or something in grade school? I mean,
no, they're going to talk to, as part of the investigation, they're going to bring in Dennis Rodman, who famously fell on the runtime of the baseline at a play and